If you do have your Bibles, we're going to continue on this thought of study in this word that was encouraged to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so if you take your Bibles and turn there, beginning in verse 14, and we'll read down through verse 26. I'll read, you read out loud, you read to yourselves there and as you follow along in the scriptures. But the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 14 of 2 Timothy and chapter 2, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that this was not going to be a message of like a Bible college course of how to study your Bible per se. Although, I don't know, as I was studying for this particular message, of course, I told you before that studying for a message often breeds other things and other thoughts, okay? Because, like I said, I need to get that verse memorized because God revealed that to me this morning. Time does not permit me to do that. See, and that's my new special gift from God, is that verse in Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm going to look that up. But anyway, and memorize it. But rather setting ourselves up for success in studying the Word of God. You know, if we would get into the right mindset of something before we attempt to do it, that often helps. Does it not? Yeah. I mean, how many of you are like me and you just kind of just fly right into something, just not even looking, not even, you just, you know, going, that's dangerous. Okay. You need to be aware of your surroundings, right? We're supposed to walk circumspectly, are we not? And so we've got to make sure that we're doing this in the right way. So a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that in order to be able to carry out this command, it was not really a request and not really just an insinuation, or not just say, well, if you have time, this is something good for you to do as a Christian. But rather, he says, study. It's imperative. Study. You study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And so it's something he wants us to do. So in order to accomplish that, we need to have the right attitude about it. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We need to practice discernment in this thing of study. And then we need to have understanding and develop understanding. And that does not come from our wisdom and our experiences and our knowledge. That comes when we line up with what God says is what it is. Okay? When we line up with his viewpoint, with his perspective, that's understanding. When we come into line and under the umbrella and authority of what God says is, that's understanding. And so we needed to have those three elements in order to be able to study the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us that as we study, we're not to be ashamed. We are a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, that's very important. Why do you think, as you came to church tonight, that you passed by 17 different denominations of churches? Okay? You say, are you saying that kind of like you think you're the only one? Well, draw your own conclusions. Okay? That's why I'm here, not next door. Okay? So, you understand. Ouch. Shots fired. Okay? Now, it's the truth, is it not? There are people that believe other things, don't they, than what the Word of God says. That's why I am so glad to say that the Bible is the foundation for all matters of faith and practice here in this place. Because guess what? God knows better than I do. And for me, as a young preacher, if you will, or should I say a young pastor, I've been preaching for a while now. But can I tell you something? I don't know everything. And okay, if you want to record that, I'll say it again, and you can play that back next time, okay? I don't know everything, and I'm not going to pretend to know everything. We need to learn this book. I can wrongly divide the word of truth, just like any other man can. And many men have. We've got to be careful. So that's why this thing of attitude is important. This thing of discernment is important. This thing of understanding is important. I'm not going to re-preach that message because we don't have time for that again, like I said. So as we begin to really get into this and we kind of set ourselves up for success, I want you to look at another element that's important in considering this thing of study. And again, my desire in my heart is as I sat back, okay, I said, yeah, Lord, I could teach a class helping them, you know, go through this and look for this in this passage of scripture and look for this in the passage of scripture. And we may do that. That was a rabbit I was chasing. I just now finished it. We may get to that as the Lord leads, perhaps. Because, I mean, you may have some questions. Well, what's the best method, or what's the best this, or, you know, how do I go about doing this? And that's wonderful to look into, because you ought to have some sort of a process, and different people learn different ways, right? But I want to kind of mold and shape the way you think about studying before we actually begin to study. So we've talked about those three elements from last time, and now I want you to look at verse 21. He says this, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So the next element that I think we need to consider is that of preparation. Preparation. I've often said if you fail to plan, you've planned to fail. We need to prepare ourselves. There's a lot to be said in the Word of God about the people of God preparing themselves before the Lord. We've got to prepare. We ought not just, like I said just a moment ago, just walk into a situation and just, you know, guns blazing and just, you know, without checking things out. We need to prepare. You say, well, okay, I want to study God's Word, but I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to do. I'm just going to turn to a page and just start reading, and God will speak to me if He wants to. Well, I suppose you could do it that way, and He just might. But why don't you prepare yourself to study the Word of God? Make some preparations. What about this in 1 Samuel chapter 7? Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. They were in a time of transition, right? They had fallen away from God, and the Philistines were upon them, and it was an oppression, and they didn't like that, so they wanted to turn back to God. And Samuel didn't say, okay, well, just come on back. He said, no. He said, if you're going to do this, I love how he says it. He says, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, if you're going to do this, there's a comma, and he says, then put away the strange gods and Asheroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. When's the last time you maybe sat down and you considered studying the Word of God, and if you will, you were in it for yourself? Or you were in it to, as I mentioned this morning, I think it was, people coming to church to get something from God. It's not why we come to church. We come to church to serve God. We come to church to give to the Lord. And listen, a wonderful byproduct of that is getting something from God. But that's not our motive. You know, we oftentimes open the scriptures and just say, God, I want something from you. And it's almost like a gimme attitude. But rather we need to prepare our hearts. We need to allow God to mold us and shape us, and we need to be pliable and prepared for what God has for us. You know, over in the book of, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is talking about the sower, the parable of the sower. And in Mark 4, he says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know what happens has happened to that soil that springs up the right kind of thing? It's been prepared. It's been cultivated. It's been broken up. You know, we need God to do a work in our hearts, so that we can receive the study that we're going through and what God has for us. We need to have an attitude of preparation. What are you doing to prepare yourself when you study? Or do you just kind of just jump into it and just kind of look around and find the words that are the same? Or in modern times, you go in there and you just start searching for words on your search engine and search program and E-sword or whatever you have. Well, okay, you're going to find stuff. But to what end? To your end or to his end? Just asking. That comes from preparation. So we need to kind of consider that if we're going to return to the Lord, if we're going to study, if you will, we need to do it with preparation. We need to prepare our hearts to study. We say, God, I want you to speak to me according to your will, according to what you want for my life, not for what I'm looking for. That's preparation. We need to prepare ourselves. In 1 Chronicles 29, the Bible tells us, it says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of their heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to set our hearts toward God and toward what he wants in our lives, not necessarily toward what we want in our lives. If you think about preparing to study, maybe Proverbs 16 and what Solomon says will be a consideration for you. He says, the preparations of the heart in man And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, that's the key right there to me. Folks, we only know what we know. Is that a fair statement? Yeah, it's kind of redundant, isn't it? Or a Captain Obvious moment, if you will. Or what we've experienced. Or what we can rationalize or reason in our mental capacity. But what about God? He's not bound by those things. And yet we limit what we can receive from studying the Word of God because we haven't properly prepared ourselves to hear from the Lord and to allow our thoughts to be established by God. In Isaiah 55, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that nice? And aren't you glad that that is the case? I am. Because remember, we are finite. He is infinite. We are but man. He is God. We need to prepare ourselves to study. You know, as I told you before about my time in education, I would always try to help these kids, but they thought they were smarter than me. They still aren't, but I want them to be. I would love for them to exceed my mental capacity. That would be fabulous. But you know what? I tried to give them every tool they could possibly need to be successful. And I'd tell them, look, oh wait, you're about to embark on an educational journey, right? And here are your textbooks, and here are the things that we want you to learn. And here are the materials that you need to be successful. And I would even give them ideas about how to take notes. And you know, the old T-notes. How many of you are T-note fans? All right? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? For real? Don't you raise your hand. You should know. All right. She didn't pay attention. She's my space cadet. She's been to outer space before. Every day. Now, you take your notebook paper, you know, and you draw a line across the top. You know, there's kind of that space there, you know, the lined paper. All right. And then about an inch from the pink line that's over here by the holes, right, you draw a line like this so that there's about a two-inch space over here and about a 6.5-inch space over here. And remember how big a size a piece of paper is. And so it kind of makes a T. It's a little offset, but it's like a T, right? So you put the term or the keyword over here and then definition over here. So that way you can cover up one side or the other and you can study. Yeah, it's kind of nice, huh? Oh, some of you are like, whoa, I wish my teacher would have told me that when I was a kid. it really works, all right? But what does that take? It takes preparation. Right? So, when you sit down to get into the Word of God, we need to do and go through that spiritual preparation of setting our heart aright on what God wants. And really what Solomon said is so important. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Is study work? Yes, it is. We talked about how Solomon said that it's weariness, right? This weariness of the flesh. It is something that takes time and effort, and well, you really got to put a lot of effort into it. But it's so valuable, so very important. But it needs to be established in what the Lord wants. And it's going, if it's going to be good ground, it needs to be cultivated, and it needs to be fertile soil and soil that's dug up and just right for the event that's to partake upon. We need to think about it. We need to prepare ourselves to study. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon simply said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equality, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And also, fools don't prepare. They don't see a need for it. Oh, I got this. I can use my concordance. I'll figure out what God wants us to know. Okay. But it's better if you prepare yourself to study the Word of God. The next thought, if you go back to verse 20 there in our text, Paul tells Timothy, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You understand that in a great house there are all these vessels. Not any one of us are the same. But what are vessels in a house for? For decoration. Right? Well, no, they're to be used, yes? And that's what they're for. To be used. And in verse 21, he goes on and talks about these things. And he says that these should be vessels unto honor, sanctified. They're set apart, right? And they're prepared for every good work. We just talked about that. So what does all that have to do with anything? So you're a vessel. You're in God's house. And you're there and you're just collecting dust and you're just happy, right? No. There's a what? Anticipation of being used by the Master. Saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to be used next. I want to be used next. With that thought in mind, as we prepare to study, do you anticipate God showing you anything? Where's the giddiness? Where's the expectation? Where's that, oh God, God, what are you going to show me today? Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. Oh, I just can't wait. Man, I hate to do this, but I just found a new excitement. As soon as we're done with today, I try to stay focused on things. I get distracted. I chase squirrels and rabbits and everything else that moves. I'm like one of those dogs on the side of the road chasing cars, you know. But thankfully, I've not been hit by one yet, as far as I know. But I'm gonna go back and look at that and really look at that. Just excited. Just whoa! I saw this in God's Word, and oh, what God? What do you want to show me today? And you sit down to study, and there's an anticipation for what God's Word has for you today. And look. I can't help. I was a teacher and a principal for so many years. And it comes out so often, I guess. But I wish kids were hungry for education, hungry for knowledge, hungry for wisdom. And when they open their textbooks or their paces or whatever they're doing, and they're just saying, boy, I just can't wait to see what happens next. Well, I can't wait to see Yesterday, I learned the Pythagorean theorem. I'm going to learn the converse of it tomorrow. I just lost like all of you today. You're gone. You're like, he started talking about math. Or I learned this axiom, and I want to learn the corollaries and the postulates and plane geometry and how it all works. You're like, no thanks. I wish kids would be excited about this stuff. I'm excited about it. I don't know. I guess I'm excited about everything. But why not? Where is the anticipation of what God is going to do when you study His Word? Are you looking for it? Are you expecting it? Or is it just like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to read my Bible verses today. And then the pastor said that we should go deeper than that. We should study. But, you know, okay, let's see. Well, this word goes over here. And yeah, my Bible guide says the next one is in chapter 7. Let's go over there and look at that. Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Yeah, I think it's enough for today. That's what kids do at school. There's no anticipation. There's no excitement. There's no... I'm horrible at this. I'm the kind of guy that you all probably hate. I'll pick up a book, and I'll read the first page, and then I skip about 7 chapters later and to see what happens next, because I don't want to read all this other stuff in here. Who's like that? Who's like me? Okay, good. Hallelujah. There's a few of you. All right. So where does it grip you? Where does it grasp you? What are you just bubbling with anticipation and looking for what God's going to do? You see, God wants us to be ready to receive what He's trying to show us and reveal to us. And He wants us to desire it. And He wants us to look for it. The Bible says that we should anticipate some things. When Jesus was here in His earthly ministry, He was telling His disciples, hey, I'm going to do something great. And he said, I'm going to prepare you and get you ready for it, so that when it comes, you'll be ready to hang on and to carry on and to do the things that I want you to do. He told them about the Holy Spirit of God. Did He not? Yeah, in John 16 He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come, and He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So, He prepared them about this, right? And He promised that this was going to take place. And in other passages of Scripture, He talks about the Holy Spirit of God. And if you kind of fast forward from there to the book of Acts, and as he's kind of speaking His last words there before He sends up into heaven, and he tells them, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Had that happened yet? Not yet. So all these things happen, and He's taken up out of their sight, and they're just going like this. Whoa. Did y'all see what happened? There you go. Can't see Him anymore. One of my favorite things to do, another rabbit trail, is like after a birthday party with helium balloons. You ever try this? Tie a gospel track to them and let them go. And you just watch them, and they just go up until you can't see them anymore. We had one go as far as Oklahoma that I know of. That's pretty cool, because they sent it back. Somebody found it. It's like, yeah, this is good with the Oklahoma. That's great. Anyways, that was one of those things again. I'm distracted. Okay, So, but there was an anticipation. Why stand ye gazing? He says, go do these things. So they gather in one accord in one place in the upper room. They're doing what God told them to do. And there's an anticipation there. They're waiting to receive this power and this Holy Ghost thing that they've heard so much about. And they were prepared. They were following the instructions. They were doing what he told them to do. And guess what? He came. And because they were prepared, and because they had anticipated it, God did something fantastic with them. When they were beaten, and they were told not to preach in his name anymore, they prayed. And they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they went out and spake the word of God with boldness. Hey, they prayed. They said, God, fill us, use us. He did. And they went out. Multiplied multitudes were saved. God was doing a great work in them because they actually expected him to do something. When's the last time you expected God to show you something from this book? Have an anticipation about it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You know, you can't teach someone who doesn't want to be taught. I'm not going to learn anything. They've already decided that they're not going to learn anything. So guess what they're not going to do? Learn anything. I've dealt with students over and over again. I hate math. Nobody ever says I hate English except for me. They say, I hate math. It's too hard. They've already decided it's too hard. So guess what math is going to be for them? Hard. Am I preaching to some kids here? I have moms and dads looking around, elbowing people. Moms and dads, I'm with you. I've been there. Okay? Right with you. But you start to show them some things and you get them to change their attitude. I had a kid one time. He's married now, has a couple of kids. One day he came to school and he said, I hate school. I said his name, and I said, why do you hate school? He goes, bad. I don't like it. It's boring. I said, well, okay. He said, let me tell you something. You're in seventh grade right now. You have a lot more years of this left. If you fail, you have a lot more than that. I said, tell you what. I said, would you try something for me? Okay. I said, why don't you decide that you like school? Why don't you just change your mind? And decide that I've got to be here for the next 6 years. I might as well like where I am. And I might as well like doing this. Because otherwise I'm going to be one miserable kid for the next 6 years of my life. So just think about it. You know, maybe if you just decided you like school, school would like you back. He said, okay. Next day, the kid comes into class with a smile on his face. You know, I didn't have any more trouble out of that kid. He said, just to change his mind. So he just, oh yeah, I'll like school. Hey, just decide that God's going to do something. In your time of Bible study, just decide that he wants to show you something. He wants you to learn something. After all, he did tell us to study. Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Remember, I've read this many times about Timothy and Paul. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. Are you more noble than those in Thessalonica? Do you receive the word with all readiness of mind? Do you search the scriptures daily whether those things were so? Are you looking for something from God? Are you anticipating that he's going to do something great in your life? You know what happened to them? Therefore, many of them believed. Also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Anticipation. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Is that your attitude? Do you anticipate what God is going to do through your study of his word? Then go back to the text one more thing. In verses 23 to 26, he goes on and he talks about several things about these vessels and these different things that happen. And in verse 22, it tells us to flee also youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. One other thing that we need to kind of prepare ourselves and work toward as we intend to study is ask ourselves the question, what am I going to do with what I find out? What am I going to do with it? Am I just going to file it away in the old noggin? Because I promise you it'll get lost in there. Mine's a black hole. I think it just sucks things in and doesn't let them ever come out again. Or am I going to be spurred to action because of the things that I learn? Are you willing to find truth in the Word of God and allow it to change your life? Just wondering. Because don't we all have some things that we know to do and we don't do them? What does the Bible say about that? Yeah, it's sin. So sometimes maybe we don't want to study because I might have to change my life. And I might not get to do that anymore. Or I might not get to go there anymore. Or I might not get to wear such and such any longer. Or have these friends or do these things or think these thoughts. So maybe we're not really concerned with being approved unto God. Maybe we're just concerned with being content in the state that we're in. So you have to ask yourself, what am I going to do with what I study, with what I learn? Am I prepared to go all the way? You know, in Nehemiah, during this revival, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And that's in chapter 8. You know what happened to those people? Their lives were changed. there are some things during that time that Israel had fallen into that were wrong. And later on, they were put to the test, and some of them had taken wives that they should not have taken. Now, listen, this is no light thing. Please understand. Wives, married, children, families. And they were told, put them away. This is God's law. You know what they did? We can't do that. We love them and they're my children and this is my wife. And what did they do? They put them away. That's tough to do. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that the things that we learn and study are going to be easy. But you have to settle within yourself. What am I going to do with this information? If I'm going to go out there and study and seek out God's ways and prepare myself and anticipate Him doing something in my life, what am I going to do when I get there? What am I going to do with what He gives me? Am I going to allow it to affect my life? Am I going to be made a vessel of honor? Am I going to be able to do these things and to go through this and to shun these things and walk in charity and peace and avoid these foolish and unlearned questions and not strive with others and be apt to teach, be patient and am I going to be able to do all this stuff? Am I going to be able to accomplish this? You know, Peter was pretty bold in his predictions there in the garden. And he was even willing to prove it, as every good man would like to do, right? Ha, I'll tell you what, Lord, I'm with you all the way. I'm going to cut this guy's ear off. Now, he just may have been a bad shot. He was probably aiming for his head, you know, but only got the ear. I don't know. But, and then just a few short hours later, what's he doing? What? No, that's not me. No, I don't know him. And then he started cussing. Okay. Then the old rooster goes off. He wept bitterly. I'm just trying to get you to think about it. In Deuteronomy 17, Moses said, when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. From one among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more to that way, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, and he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests and Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And that was a command by God, right? For the king to do that. Read through the Old Testament and see how many kings followed this. Not very many. Because they failed. Why? Because they weren't willing to go through with what they had learned and what they had known. We need to maybe follow this in our own lives. One of the things I was encouraged to do as a young Bible college student was not just memorize or learn these doctrines that kind of are the foundation of what we believe and why we believe what we believe. One of my professors encouraged me to go through and find for myself the verses that support these doctrines. To search it out so that I know why I believe what I believe. And, you know, list out, you know, God the Father. And just go through the scriptures and find out what the Word of God says about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, sin, Satan, heaven, hell, you know, all these things. Why? So that I be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh of the hope that's within me. You see, I love what this is suggesting here. That the man that's set over the people of God would take the book and copy, make his own copy. I was talking with some folks about studying last week, and sometimes it helps to read something and write it out. You know, that helps you memorize, helps you learn. But what are you going to do with what God has shown you? Paul tells Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's supposed to come to a fruition. It's supposed to accomplish something in our lives. Are you prepared for that? Some people may say, well, if that's the case, then I don't want to know anymore. What a shame. Have we really relegated ourselves to that? Are we so comfortable in our lives that we don't want growth? We don't want more production? We don't want God to prune us and to shape us and to mold us. We don't want Him, as we're on the potter's wheel, to push a deviation into our lives and accomplish something in us. And we resist against it, or we say to Him, no, you didn't create me for that. I want to be this. Don't rebel against Him. Decide that you're going to accept the results of the study. Because we're approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope that these thoughts have been an inspiration to you, have been a help to you, and I hope that you do endeavor to study the word of God.